This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of It's Not All Rainbows. I'm your host, Lindsay Goodman. I'm a certified trauma recovery coach, and I'm also a survivor of abuse in a queer relationship. I'm here to help you figure out what's really going on in your relationship, to help get you out and on the road to recovery. Today, I'm going to talk to you about this thing that a lot of abusers do, which is walking like a mile in front of you when you're out, quote unquote, on a date or you're running errands together, whatever it is you might be doing. They're nowhere to be found, or you're just like watching them. You're walking in the dust. And it's a weird thing. There's a lot of reasons behind it potentially. So let's go ahead and talk about that. But before we do, let's talk about my struggles and successes. Struggle. Let's see. I'm feeling pretty good today. I had a really good weekend. So I guess that'll be my success. I had a really good weekend to myself. I spent some time with friends. I got some cleaning done, ran some errands. I had some super chill downtime, like doing puzzles and reading and things like that. So I got a lot of self-care in. Sometimes it can be really hard as people, but as moms, as single moms, as whatever, to really set aside time for ourselves. And when we have that time, often it's just chaos because we have 400 different things that we want to do in that short amount of time, and it can be really hard. And I also worked during my time free, like alone time without my son. So a lot of times finding that balance can be really hard. And so that'll be my success, is that I really found a good balance this weekend. So I'm really happy with that. A struggle. This will be really random. I started working with a different interpreting agency recently, and I've been putting a lot of hours in with them, and they're a smaller company. And so I'm not sure they're going to pay me on time. And so I'm like, I kind of put all my eggs in one basket with this one. A lot of times as an independent contractor, if you're one of these, or you're an entrepreneur, or you're like on social media, you're making money in like multiple forms, you've got this little check coming in, that one, you get a bigger one, then get a smaller one, whatever. And I put a lot of eggs in that basket. So I'm really hoping that they'll pay me on time and I won't have to like sort of juggle finances and it'll just all be okay. But it's getting to the point where I'm like, okay, they're either going to pay me soon or I'm going to have to start like tracking down my money. And that is one of the like not fun things about being an independent contractor / entrepreneur, if that works for you, of being a single income household where like everything falls on you and you can't just be like, hey, honey, I'm going to get paid like a month late. You got it for a couple weeks and then I'll catch up on stuff. So definitely a struggle, but I'm hopeful that it'll all be okay. I know a lot of you can understand that because just the way things are these days, finances can be pretty wild. Okay, so let's talk about what's up with abusive people walking really far in front of you. And before I do this, I did recently share a video of my abuser walking in front of me. And no, I don't show their face, so don't get excited. I mean, go look it up if you want to, but don't be like, oh my gosh, she finally showed their face. I didn't. But, you know, some people will... People will always, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, say something when I'm talking about covert abuse where you're looking at it and you're like, that's abuse? No, that's not abuse. That's just a person walking. People will always say things like, well, I always walk ahead because my kids walk really slow or my partner walks really slow and I just want to get there, or it's cold outside or whatever. Cool, I get it. Sometimes like I catch myself walking in front of my kid because he's 6 and he's so slow. And actually I usually catch myself and I'm like, oh, I don't want him to spend his life like looking up and being like, my mommy's way up there. And then think that that's like okay or normal for someone to just be like a block ahead. I don't walk a block ahead of my son. But anyway, so I'll just stop and I'll grab his hand if we're in a hurry, and I'll have him like, walk at my pace, or I'll stop and I'll walk at his pace, because again, like, he's a little guy, it's his world, like I'm living in his world. And so that's probably the time that I catch myself the most doing that. It does happen. Like, I'm not going to walk at the same pace as everybody that I ever walk with. And that doesn't make me an abusive person. It doesn't make you an abusive person if you're cold and you just want to get out of the cold and run into the coffee shop that you guys are going to or something like that. However, most of the time, I feel like if I'm walking with a friend, if I'm walking with my sister, if I'm walking with whoever, unless it's agreed upon. Like, here's an example. I take my mom to the grocery store when I'm in Indiana with her, and she will walk straight into the store because I'm like getting my kid out, I'm getting in the car, and she's like, I want to get a head start. She wants my son to have like less time to have to be like walking around in a huge grocery store, because my mom does like to take her time because she doesn't get out that much. So it's like, we don't even talk about it. It's like, go, I'm gonna get kids all lined up, because I usually bring the dog with me. I put her in a little carrier and bring her in. And so it's like an agreed upon thing. And I'm not like, Mom, you left me in the dust. Like, that's not fair. I want to be with you. Like, so, again, we have to use our judgment and our intuition and not think, oh my gosh, Lindsay told me that if someone walks in front of me, they're abusing me. And I had that happen one time, right? But when you have a partner, someone who's supposed to be supportive and caring and whatever, but every time that you go out in public together, they're walking so far ahead of you. That can be one of many puzzle pieces that come together to form the greater picture of the abuse that's happening. So let's talk about why an abusive person might walk in front of you. And then if I remember and I can get to it, I want to talk about like why I didn't realize for so long that this was part of the abuse. Again, as we talk about with covert abuse, it's covert because it's hard to spot. So actually, maybe let's do that first. And I apologize for anyone who like doesn't have ADHD and is like, why isn't this lady structured? Why don't you have bullet points? Well, I just come here and I want to be real and talk to you like I would if we were sitting at a coffee shop. And if we were sitting at a coffee shop, I wouldn't be like, okay, so first I'm gonna tell you. So just roll with me on this one. Some of the ways that I sort of rationalized what was happening was one, that we are a queer couple. And so in the beginning, when my partner, my abuser, would not walk, enter a business way before me, walk several blocks ahead of me, like just literally leave me in the dust, not be affectionate with me and things like that, was because I was like, well, this person is queer and is less straight passing than I am. So I do have that straight passing privilege, which they really don't. So maybe they've had, and they've been out longer than me, so maybe they've had some experiences being out with partners in the past that like traumatized them, made them too scared to be affectionate with a partner in public and things like that. I'm not a publicly affectionate person either. So like, I don't expect you to like make out with me in the street or like hold my hand or anything like that. Even when I was like dating men, I just didn't like, I'm not super affectionate in public in that way. And so that's fine. It's not like that was missing, but it was just like, oh, like they might not want to be seen too close to me or have people view us as a queer couple because maybe that scares them in some way. So I would rationalize it like that. Although, like, we live in a very queer area. There's a lot of queer people in this area. A very generally accepting place where there's a lot of allies. There's, again, queer people and stuff like that. So I don't know. I was just trying to find a way to like understand a reason why that might be. I also, I don't know. I just, I'm like, well, they're just really closed off. So they're, they just don't want to be that close to me and stuff. But we would go on dates and in the beginning, and when we were on the date, in the date, sitting there, like, of course they would like in the beginning like interact with me like it was a date. So it was a lot of mixed signals as well. And okay, I'm gonna give a couple examples of times that they walked in front of me, and I would like make a video and post it on my Instagram, because again, at the time, I didn't fully understand what was happening. And so one example is when we went to Leavenworth with our friends, and our friends were also a queer couple. And like I was walking in the back, and there was the couple in front of us, and they were holding hands in front of me, and they were holding hands. And then my abuser was like in front, but even like several paces in front of them. And I made a video and I like posted on my Instagram stories, and I was like, which queer couple are you? And like everybody was like, we hold hands when we walk. Like maybe a couple were like, yeah, we don't hold hands, but like nobody was like, I walk way in front of everyone else. So that really should have been a red flag for me, but I just was like, kind of trying to laugh about their behavior. And I did this a lot during that time where I would point out, it was almost like I was pointing out like, oh yeah, our relationship is flawed. It's not perfect. Like there's some things that like, I kind of crave more affection than they do, but like, this is where they're at. Like they're very avoidant, closed off, and I'm anxious, which I'm not actually, I was in that relationship for sure. But like, I'm anxious and I'm the one who's like reaching out and I'm the one like, whatever. And this is a struggle we have and we're just working through it. It's not nor like it was very pointed that they were like, I don't even know Lindsay's here. And then another time was like kind of near the end, and we were supposed to be on a date. Like we went axe throwing, and then we were like walking somewhere. I don't remember where we were going, but they were so far ahead of me, and they were like watching CrossFit on their like on YouTube on their phone. And I make a video, and I'm like, we're supposed to be on a date for our anniversary, and I don't even think they know that I'm here. And I like pan and show them, and. Come on. Someone's dropping a phone. 1 second. Sorry. Okay. This is something you cannot have on a podcast that's done in a studio, but again, we're just chilling. I want you to feel like we're hanging out together. If you come to my house, my dog's going to bark at the mailman, the mail person. They're gone. They're gone. I'm not going to start over because we're 10 minutes in, so I do apologize if you're driving and you're like, ah, there's a dog barking in my ear. Hey. So they're walking so far ahead of me, and I would put that on there, and I'm like, I don't even think this person knows I'm here. And it was kind of like, oh. And actually, I posted a video of me trying on clothing and like coming out and like trying to show them the clothes because they were like, yeah, I'll help you go shopping or whatever. And when I come out, they like don't even look at me, don't even notice me. They're just, and I posted it on my stories like, haha, this is my partner, but like not being serious, like, uh oh, this is my partner, something's wrong here. Like, this person does not care about me. And, hey, thank you. I feel like we are safe now. I feel like you did your duty. So why do abusive people do this? Why do they make a point of leaving you in the dust, of not being seen in public with you, of potentially ignoring you when you are in public spaces together? Well, there are several possible reasons for this. One is that they don't want to be seen with you. Maybe they're embarrassed of you because they think that they're more attractive than you. They think that they're more of a catch than you. Like whatever they liked about you in the beginning, they don't like anymore. And, or you've lost your glow that you had in the beginning. You lost the energy. You lost the thing that attracted to them to you in the first place, because you've been being abused for months or years on end. You've kind of like, maybe you're not like dressing in the same way or putting yourself together in the same way that you did in the beginning, whatever that looks like for you. And so they're like, yeah, this person's just like a wreck. I don't know. When I met them, they were just like so much more attractive. And now I'm like, whatever. So I'm going to walk in front of them because I'm just so much more attractive. That can very well be a thing. It could also be that they don't want to be seen with you because just in case someone catches their eye, right? Like, oh, that girl's really pretty, or that guy's really attractive, or that person, like, I like what I'm seeing. Like, maybe later tonight I'll run into them at this bar and I'll start talking to them because, you know, it's normal for me to leave my partner way over there and not care about them when we're out. And they might be lining up another person to go for, to date, to be with, so they can discard you and move on because you're starting to figure out who they really are. So that can also be a reason. They just don't want to be seen with you. They do not want to appear to have a partner, any partner, especially you, who is no longer on their pedestal and hasn't been for a long time. Another reason is to literally make you feel like crap, to make you feel worthless, useless, unloved. You know, like, again, like I would see this happen and I would kind of laugh it off like, ah, look at my partner. They're never walking with me. It's so weird about them. Hoo hoo. But I also was like, I am not loved. I am not cared about. I don't matter to this person. Why don't I matter to this person? Because back then I just wanted to be loved. Now I'm like, if you don't love me, that's on you. And that's fine. You don't have to love me. I love me. I don't need you to. If you do love me, cool. That's a bonus, right? But they want to make you feel like you are less than, that you're crap, and like you should be thankful that they even come near you. And it works. It makes you feel useless. It makes you feel unlovable. And it kind of does make you feel like sometimes that this person might be actually better than you. Like, well, they don't want to be seen with me in public. Like, does that mean that, like, oh, they're just like staying with me out of pity and they deserve someone so much better? I don't know, whatever it is they might make you think. And they're probably also telling you things. Like mine never was like, oh, I walk in front of you because X, Y, and Z. But they might also be telling you things to help contribute to that message that they're trying to send you through their behavior of walking in front of you. It's not okay. It's not normal. It might be common. We might see people doing this sometimes. And again, there might be like case to case times that someone's like, I'm going to run up ahead because of this. Or my mom goes into the grocery store really fast so that my kid doesn't have to be in there for an extra 3 minutes. Like, it really doesn't matter. She could totally wait. But in her mind, she's like, let's make this easier for the 6-year-old. I'm just going to get in there. I'm going to get this done. So case by case, there are going to be things where this happens, or you both agree, like one person's going to run up ahead and save a seat somewhere or whatever. I'm going to go park the car. You like, you're by yourself, whatever. But it's not normal and it's not healthy and it's not okay for someone to be on a date with you or going to the same place as you. You both initiated this situation. You both agreed to go to this place, and yet you're by yourself. You're being left all the time, wherever you go, any turn. This person's like, no. You're like, yeah, where is this person? I don't know. They're 6 blocks away, or, you know, they disappeared and I don't know where they are. It says that you are worthless, and you are not worthless. You deserve someone who's willing to walk down a street with you. Obviously, not everyone's going to want to hold hands, and that's fine. But like, to be seen in public with you, if they live with you, or if they have been with you for a long time, you've been, you know, pursuing each other, you are purposefully going places together, then why are they so ashamed to see you in public? It's not because you're ugly. It's not because you're not dressed right. It's not because you did something wrong. Like, even if I'm upset with my partner, I'm not going to walk in front of them to like punish them and make them feel like crap because we had an argument this morning over who was going to unload the dishwasher or something like that. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to get revenge on you. So even if your partner tells you, well, I was walking in front of you because I was mad at you because this morning XYZ, or because last week XYZ, or I'm still not over XYZ or whatever. If you have a partner who's just like constantly trying to get revenge on you and punish you for your behavior like you're a child, which I don't even punish my child that way. I never would. That's not okay. It's not good. So this is a really important thing to talk about because, again, it can be very hard to spot. You might do what I did, which is try to rationalize. And the unfortunate thing is, I don't know about straight couples, but in queer couples, there are a lot of things that abusers can use as excuses, which could be valid. You might actually be scared. You live in a small town. You live in like an area where it's really not safe to be queer. That's legit. And you're going to both talk about that, and you're going to both say, look, when we're in public, let's be very cautious about how we're portraying ourselves and our connection, because we just need to be safe and we need to get home at night. When we get home at night, we can cuddle, we can kiss, we can do all the things. Yep, same page, good, right? But unfortunately, abusive people will use a lot of legitimate queer struggles and issues and fears to abuse, covertly most of the time, a partner. So I'm going to take this thing that's actually a queer related issue, and I'm going to do this behavior, and you can't argue with me because this is actually a real thing for some people in some places. So that is something that we need to keep in mind because it happens. But either way, no matter what, who you're dating, who your partner is, what gender, blah, 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 it doesn't matter. It's not okay to do that. So if you have a partner who is walking ahead of you and you don't like that, have a conversation with them and say, hey, I noticed like the last couple of times we've gone out, you've been walking just a couple paces in front of me. Is that Do I walk too slow for you? Are you just like, is it something that you never really thought about? I don't like it. Excuse me. I don't like it. I feel a little bit unloved when you're walking ahead of me. And if your partner's like, you know what? I never noticed it, but you're right. That's a little bit weird. I don't know why I do that. I'll try to be more aware. I would love to walk next to you. So I'm sorry that that made you feel unloved. I do love you and I do want to be out with you in public. Great. Green flag, problem solved. But if they're like, I don't do that, or well, you XYZ, and they're blaming it on you or whatever, and it's just not a healthy conversation, definitely a red flag and definitely probably part of a bigger problem. So I hope this helps. I hope it's validating. I hope it, you know, brings you some clarity if this is something that you have experienced. Because that's why I'm here. That's all I really want. That's the only reason why I'm still talking about it, is because I just hope that it helps somebody in some small way. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate your time. I know you all are really busy just like I am. So thank you. Go do something nice for yourself. Go drink some water, and I'll be back next week with more.